Good afternoon, good morning, good evening, good whatever time you are listening to this in whatever part of the world. Welcome to another very beautiful episode of The Voice Letter. And today, you know, I've been promising you guys last year that I would have beautiful collaborations this year. So I think the first of its kind, I have a very special person in the house, literally. I have a very, very special person. You guys cannot know how heavy this person is to me. The person's name is Pastor Dupe Adebanjo. Welcome to the house, sir. Welcome to clap your hands wherever you are.
Yeah, thank you very much. Thank you for having me in and let me have the privilege of doing this.
The privilege is our own. We are the one that is very privileged to have you, sir. So today's episode of the podcast is titled The Believer and Therapy. The Believer and Therapy. And I think this topic is a spin-off of a conversation I had with Pastor Dupe last year. So it's something that, okay, I think I'll just lay a premise. So one thing I've noticed with my generation is that we are quite particular about mental health, mental space. You know, I was saying earlier that there was this tweet I saw last week. The person said that he expects everyone in their 20s to have 15 hours every day set for work and personal productivity. So there was a lot of backlash on the old man that what does he expect? How would he expect people to spend 15 hours, especially that people that stay in Lagos, that you have spent almost 4 hours already in traffic, to and fro work. You spend the major chunk of the day trying to get work done. You now still come home, it's going to be finding productivity for personal development. So a lot of people, there was a backlash on the man that he should leave this generation alone and he should go and do his own. So that people are saying the reason why his generation aged fast and his generation has brought the country to this spot is because of they were too inched on productivity. Yeah, so I said all this to say that I feel my generation is quite aware of their mental state and their mental health, and I think they are paying more attention to it. So there are a lot of conversations in every sphere concerning therapy. So I know a believer must probably have thought of it that, oh, can I even, what is therapy? Can I do therapy? According to Wikipedia, therapy is a treatment intended to relieve or heal a disorder. I'll say it again. Therapy is a treatment intended to relieve or heal a disorder. And the believer, as we all know, is someone that believes in the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Someone, as Yoruba people say it, onigbagbo, someone that believes in the Lordship of Jesus Christ. So how where is the meeting point for a believer that believes in the Lordship of Jesus Christ and therapy and relieving and a process of healing, a process of relieving disorders? I think we should take it from there, sir.
Okay, thank you very much. It can sound like controversial, more so when we agree that a believer is someone, not just that he believes in Christ, he has the Spirit of God in him. Mm-hmm. And you and I believe, we agree that the Comforter not only comforts, he teaches.
Yes, sir.
So if you have the Holy Spirit in you that can teach and can comfort, why would you need
an external
person to guide you in the place of therapy? More so, you remember the other one, you have overcome the one, you have the unction.
You have the unction of the Holy
One in you. Teach you all things. So why should I still do that? We can't just be choosing scriptures as we like. The Bible talks to the fact that all scripture is all scriptures. Yes. We don't take one in isolation. Mm-hmm. Because when we take that, we must remember that as well. The Bible talks about those who love the Lord reason together.
Yes, sir.
And a book of remembrance. Yes. We remember the one that talks about not forsaking the assemblies of ourselves. Brethren. We remember the one that talks about comfort others with the same comfort which you have received. So if each of us have the Holy Spirit, so why should I comfort you? Just go and meet the Holy Spirit on your own and be comforted. And so if we said all these and we talk about the fact that we should speak words that are seasoned with grace, you will agree with me, if the intention of therapy is to heal or to relieve of a disorder, then it can't be wrong. Because if it doesn't negate scripture, then it can't be wrong.
As he said, if it doesn't negate scripture, it can't be wrong. It brings me to remember this scripture in James that says, confess your faults one unto another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. That means the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man that includes that confessing your faults one to another, he has the capacity to bring much healing, I believe. So I feel we also need to bring the premise from the fact that not all forms of therapy is not all forms of therapy or all forms of therapy a believer should be open to. Because I've seen scenarios where people have mixed spiritism with yoga, different forms of medication, meditation. Yeah, different forms of meditation into the mix. And they still call it therapy. So where do I draw the line as a believer?
Okay, thank you. We'll talk from a personal point of view, more so that I lost my wife just a few months back, precisely August 11th last year. And you will agree with me that when we talk in the place of a disorder, that's exactly what transpired from perfectly being in good health and 30-35 minutes thereafter was pronounced clinically dead. Yeah. And so you will agree with me that there is some kind of grief, misgiving that happened. And despite my knowledge as a child of God, it did not stop me from crying, grieving, and wondering what has happened suddenly to me. And so when friends suggested I should seek the services of a therapist just to have a discussion, the man came and had a small set mind, knowing that I'm a pastor, I'm a counselor, and he was wondering what he would be sharing with me. But walking me through my grief, walking me through the denial, the blame, the anger, the acceptance, and the recovery helped me to put things in perspective. You know, one of the things was that I was glad that, we didn't have any quarrel or misgiving. The job of a therapist is to help you understand that even if you had a misunderstanding or there was a quarrel before the demise, that it's a normal part of a healthy relationship to have disagreement at times. So it helps us open us up, and then some of the guilt or blame game can be put in perspective so that we can have a restoration, healing, or experience relief from the scourge. But having said that, I believe that this relief, this comfort that we are seeking, as you've rightly said, should not be outside of the scripture. Because when we start opening ourselves to some certain meditations, we open ourselves up to spiritism, and we can never say the spirits we are opening ourselves to. So when we talk about therapy, it must be in line with words that can comfort, and it should suffice. And at times, if not words, there's some physical things that you do. At times you can go for a walk, it's part of it. They can recommend that you go to the swimming pool. They can recommend that you go travel out of your comfort zone where you are. But you see, when it starts opening up your soul to an external source that is beyond you, we can put ourselves in harm's way.
I also feel there's a way a believer sees being spiritual to mean not feeling at all. Okay, there's this minister I listened to a message that he preached last month. He was speaking about joy. So he was explaining that he had some issues while he was a student, and at the end of the day, he is a minister of God, and at the end of the day, one thing he noticed over time was that all of the pain and hurt he had taken for a while when he was in school, he did not heal from them. He was using ministering to the saints, being a pastor, to numb the pain, to numb the feeling. He was using that to numb the feeling. And at the end of the day, something happened. He now had to just let it all out and say, God, I beg, just help me. Because he didn't realize it at that time. In fact, He said anytime, any day he feels that pain, what he will do is he'll go, all of every people that have been calling me, I has probably not had their time. Normally, probably he does one ministration per day. He will intentionally now have 2-3 ministrations per day. He just wants to use that avenue to cover or maim or reduce the voice of that pain. So one thing that shows me was that at times we want to use spiritual to also mean we cannot feel or we cannot relate with pain. You know, it just reminded me now that Jesus wept. So we need to see it also from that. How can we balance it that, okay, yes, so scripture says you have joy. Joy is the fetcher. We should count it all joy. We should respond from joy. So all of those scriptural realities that scripture has painted to us, how do we do that and also still stay whole, spirit, soul, and body?
Fantastic. I'm so glad you could say that Christ, who is divinity personified, wept. And so some of the things or the exaggeration of scriptures must be taken out of how we interpret it and then see it in the holistic form and in context so that we don't get things wrong. So when you count it all joy, so I should jump up and shout hallelujah and be dancing that my wife passed on. Count it all joy, dear, means that the hope of eternity births comfort in you that everything doesn't end in the grave. That's what you are counting joy. It's not because you don't feel. It's not because you don't cry. That people say, so if you cry, you are not honoring God. Or you are, no, that can't be true. And I can tell you for sure, it's been over 6 months now, and that sometimes I still cry. I cry because I miss this comfort, I miss this fellowship, I miss this relationship, I miss this person. But I do not stay in that state of despondency, in that state of pain, in that place of misgiving. So I count it all joy to say this person is not in the grave. This person is in heaven and this person is with God. So we need to put scriptures in right perspective. And at times it is better to be quiet, not knowing what to say, than to open our mouth to say a lot of wrong things. You know, you need to understand that there is a difference between counseling people. When people go through grief, we must know, do they want us to console them or they want us to counsel with them? If we don't know this difference, as simple as those two words sound, it's so easy to think they are the same thing. They are completely different. And so we don't add to people's pain, just like Job's friend did. When they kept their mouth shut, they were counted to have done well. But when they started to, by all means, wants to tell why Job is in the problem that he was in, he expressly said that they added to his sorrow. Yeah. And that's not what a believer wants to do when somebody is going through grief or misgiving and we want to reach out to them to comfort with them. Remember, our words are meant to be seasoned with salt and grace to minister to our hearers, not to destroy or to bat condemnation to them.
Well, I think Pastor Dube said something else after. He said counseling is different from consoling. You know, when people go through things and we just turn up and say it is well, and it is actually truly well. But as he said, I think there's something he said earlier that some silence. He said something about one silence the other time. What was that word? He said something about silence. He said that silence. Yeah.
Okay. So was it when I was talking about it is better to be quiet?
Yes. Not knowing what to say than
to open our mouth and say a lot of wrong things. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think as believers also, we also need to really trust the Spirit of God, especially when we are going to speak to people that are going through things or speak to comfort generally. That scripture in 2 Corinthians 1:4 says that we should comfort others wherewith with the comfort we have received. So actually, if you have not received comfort, we have nothing to give. Yes, we have nothing to give. I think we have come to the end of this episode. Thank you very much, Pastor Dube, for coming.
Thank you for having me. It's an honor to share this wonderful platform with you.
Thank you very much, sir. We are grateful. Everybody, shout, thank you, Pastor Dube. thank you for listening also. As the month of March is going to be beautiful, the Lord is going to order your steps much more in the month of March. You would march forward onto greater tidings in God, in Jesus' name. I look forward to having you again next month. Thank you for always coming around. And you could do well to share this immediately after you're listening and you are blessed. We love you very much. Thank you.
Thank you.